Brother Terrence, and so he's a good friend and a good man of God. We're excited about what God his life, his family's life. So you continue to pray for him, and I pray for his family. Preach the word.
Amen. You got 20, man.
There we go. Talking about pressure, right? I don't know if that was for DJ or that was for me. I don't know. I don't know. I started to get up and turn the clock on him. That would be my last time, right? There you go. You know, if he cut his son off, I know I ain't got no chance. So I'm gonna hurry up. And this one here was about a 45 minute for me. So I'm gonna start trimming the fat, and we gonna get right to the point. And so I'll pray, and then I won't read my text verse until about halfway through. So you guys can remain seated, and I'll pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity. I thank you for the chance to preach. It's a sacred thing to me, and I just pray that you would use this message. I pray that you use me, cleanse me, and help me to be a help to those that would hear. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would give us all ears to hear what thus saith the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. And so let's start trimming the fat. Here we go. So I want to come. I just got a simple thought, but it began. The thought stemmed from thinking about God's goodness. So just thinking about the nature of God and how good God is and how just amazing God is. And it's as a child of God, there's two ways that we can react to the goodness of God, and that's what this message stems from. But I just begin to think about, I just wrote down a couple of things here that when I think about God, when I think about his goodness, the things that provoke me, the things that I think about. And of course, one is the love of God. Man, God, he loves us. And sometimes we hear it so much, and sometimes it becomes one of those things that's just like almost like a cliche thing to say, just like, you know, God loves us. But God does. He loves us more than we can even understand. And sometimes it's hard for us to take that in, because most of the examples we have of love are marred with sin and the relationships that we've had where love was supposedly projected. It wasn't God's love. It wasn't a divine love. And so I think about John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave, and how God's love is sacrificial. Yes, and how he gave his son, and he died on the cross, and he took that pain, he took that punishment, he took all those things for us, because he loves us. And then I begin to think about God's forgiveness. I mean, if you got your Bibles, we can turn to, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, and I'll read, just speaking of God's forgiveness. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So we see forgiveness. We also see grace. And we think about if it's one thing that will bring me to my knees, that will cause the tears to start to flow, and to think about the grace of God, and think about how much God has forgiven me for, and that the fact that it's all grace. Like he doesn't have to. And I think just the people in this room today, the people that are testimonies of some of these things that I'm gonna be able to share. I think about the men's meeting we had, just some of those topics, and to think that the man that just got up here and spoke at one point was away from the Lord. At one point was out there, you know, and we have his father that prayed for him, and all those different things, and to see that God would act and would move because of prayer, but also because God loved DJ and his father loved him. But just to see that God didn't have to do that, right? Right. If God left us out and let us go to the extremes of where we wanted to go, it would all be, he would be justified, right? Because we had a sin nature, and so he didn't have to do anything that he does for us. I think about God's protection, and some of these verses I'll just give it to you. You can look it up later, but God's protection You see in John chapter 10, verse 28, it talks about God's protection. I talked about his grace. Second Peter, the famous verse about God being long-suffering, how God is not slack as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering because he loves us so much that he doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He doesn't want anybody to die. He doesn't want anybody to be without him in eternity, have to spend an eternity without him. Yes, sir. And so God loves us, and all these benefits that come along with I worked a couple different jobs, and some of them had some pretty good benefits, right? You look forward to them. You look forward to that time when the probation is over with and the benefits start to kick in. But I never worked a job, never heard about a job that came along with the benefits that we get serving God and being a child of God. Amen. And so God is good to us. God loves us. God has forgiven us. God shows us mercy, shows us grace. He shows us long-suffering. And so I want to go take your Bibles, go to Psalms 103. Man, this is becoming like one of my favorite psalms, and definitely becoming one of my favorite verses. I'll start in verse 10, Psalms 103. In verse 10, it says, He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. When he could, but he doesn't. Amen. In verse 11, it says, For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. Amen. Verse 12, As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And over, if you just continue to read all the way to the end of the chapter, it just talks about how good God is. Yes. And so, like I said, there's two ways that we can take it. The way God would want us to take it, the way God would want the reaction for us to be because of his love, because of his grace, because of his long-suffering, because of his forgiveness, God does all that. And the reaction that we should have would be like a reaction that we see in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and how he says, because of God's mercy, we should present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. It's only reasonable that we would live holy. It's only reasonable that we would commit to serving God because of all of the mercies, all of the things that God has done for us. It's only reasonable to think that we would serve God, that we would live holy, that we would separate ourselves, that we would give our lives for the Christ that gave his life for us. And so that would be a reasonable reaction. Then some other quotes I got down here, 1 Peter 1:16, John 14:15 talks about if we love him, then we'll keep his commandments, right? And so we understand we love God because he first loved us. So all these different things would be what you would assume should be our reaction because of God's love and his mercy and his grace. But if you got your Bibles, I told you about our kind of text verse, and this kind of brought the thought on. I began to think about God's goodness, and then this verse came to mind, and I felt convicted by it because I do this. And like I said, there's two ways you can go. You can love God more. You can serve him more. You can be sold out because of his grace and because of his goodness, because of his forgiveness. Or sometimes it's almost a reaction of someone that's not saved, someone that doesn't know about the love of God, someone that doesn't necessarily know God. You could take this reaction, but many times I've taken this approach that we see here in this verse, Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11, and I'm almost finished, but it says, Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 11, it says, Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the Son of Man is fully set in them to do evil. And so sometimes what happens is because God is so good, because God is so forgiving, because God shows mercy, because God is long-suffering, because God doesn't treat us like Psalms 103 says, after what our sins deserve, sometimes we set in our heart to do evil or to abuse or to take for granted the love of God, to take for granted the long suffering of God. How many people here, and I'm gonna be the first one to raise my hand, how many people here ever said, I know it's wrong, I know I shouldn't do it, I know God wouldn't be pleased, but he'll forgive me for it, I'm gonna do it right now. Right? We all do it, right? And that's what this verse is talking about. Because God doesn't, because that judgment is not executed speedily, because God doesn't immediately drop the boom like he did sometimes in the book of, I mean, the Old Testament, that guy going out picking up sticks and boom, you dead, son. It's the Sabbath day, you know, because God doesn't always do that, because he's long-suffering, because he loves us, because he tries to help us along, and he pitieth us, and he knows our frame, like Psalms 103 says. He doesn't always execute that judgment speedily. And if we're not careful, I know it's easy for us to point the finger at lost people and people that don't know God, and people that really don't understand God and how they do things, and they say, oh, well, you know, only God could judge me. I deal with him later, and all these other things. Sometimes we can set our heart to do evil,
yes,
right? As preachers, as fathers, as men, as flesh, we'll abuse the grace of God. We'll abuse the mercy of God. Because he doesn't give us what we deserve. And so, point blank, plain and simple, that concerns me. In my life, it concerns me. It concerns me in the life of other Christians.
Yes, sir.
That when we abuse the goodness of God. And if we don't get anything else out of the time I stand here, I just want to tell you, don't do that. Let's have the first reaction. That first reaction, let's because of how good God has been to us, let's sit back and say, man, I'm going to serve God with everything I got.
Yes.
Man, I'm going to use this grace, not to abuse it, but I'm going to use it as a safety net. It's just like people that do those high wire walks and trapeze and all this other stuff. They train. They the objective is for them to do what they set out to do, right? To walk across that line or to do those flips in the air. Their objective is not to fall. And so with God's grace is like that safety net. Like, you got some people, they don't use the safety net. They, well, if I fall, that's just it. That's the way I'm going to go out, right? And that's how an unsaved person is. When they mess up, which we know they were born in sin, so they was messed up from the beginning. But they do this high wire walk, and they say, well, if I mess up, then that's just it. That's the way I'm going to go out, right? Right, but as children of God, we have the safety net of grace, not for us to stay down there in the net, but when we fall, we can get back up and do it again. And so let's not abuse God's grace. Why? Why, though? Because the scriptures tell us that judgment is going to begin in the house of God.
Yeah, yeah.
So though you're saved, heaven is your home and you're eternally secure, you still going to have to see God. Right? It's appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. So everybody, 2 Corinthians 5:10, I think. And I'll read it since I trimmed a lot of the fat, right? And I ain't got the clock turned on me yet, so. 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says, for we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. So whether you a child of God or not, whether you eternally secure or not, whether you've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ or not, they're going to have to see God, but you're going to also have to see God too. And the Bible tells us about suffering loss. Some of us will suffer loss for those choices that we made to abuse God's grace, abuse the things that we so love God because of his mercy, because of his grace, but we abuse it also. And so it's just like the credit card society, right? You know, I know I ain't got the money, but I'm going to swipe. That's what we do, right? Because that bill coming later. But guess what? when the bill collector calls, you can hang up on him. You know, you can choose not to pay him. You like, hey, they ain't gonna get it, and I'm gonna die. I ain't gonna pay it to him. I had a guy that I worked with, and he did exempt every year on his taxes, and he was so proud about it because he's like, they don't get none of my money, and he's like, I'd rather me owe them than them owe me. That's what he's always say. He filed exempt, and then he tell them, you know, I'm gonna pay. He set up a payment plan every year. And so he was so proud that he felt like he was getting over on the government, right? And sometimes that's the way we are. We feel like we're getting over on God, and the Bible tells us, be not deceived. God is not mocked, yep. Right? You, whether you're a child of God or you're not going to mock God with sin.
That's right.
And
right.
You'll see the results in your lives, and like DJ was talking about, in your family's lives, all of it is a trickle-down effect. And so we'll see it in this life and the one to come. And so, and I'm not going to belabor it any more than that, but the whole gist, the whole purpose of this is the fact that God is good,
yes,
and God loves us. God is long-suffering to us. God doesn't want to do us any harm. God wants to bless us and prosper us and use us. But let's let that goodness have us to live a more holy life. Now read this statement I put down here. I said, God's goodness should lead to those things like in Romans chapter 12. But I put instead, many times, we let God's goodness to us drop our standard of living to the point that we set our hearts to do evil, knowing that God will be all these good things that we talked about already. And so sometimes we don't live holy. Sometimes we don't do the things we should, serve like we should. We don't love like we should. We don't forgive like we should. We don't do many of the things that we should do because of God's goodness. We don't do it. And it's because that judgment is not executed speedily. So let's not be like those that are lost. Let's not abuse the blessings that God has given us with his character and his nature. You know, because God loves us because he is love. And so all those things, all those benefits that we get from God is because that's who God is. But be not deceived. God is not mocked. You're not going to do whatever you want and abuse God's goodness, and it's not going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. And as children of God, as preachers, as men of God, like you said, judgment begins in the house of God first. And so you think you're getting away with something, you're not. And so, like I said, this was to me first because I'm still convicted by. I was convicted by as I put it together, because I know in my life I've seen the occasions where I said, well, I know I ain't supposed to do this, but God, you're going to have to forgive me. I know you're going to forgive me. And I just went on right on ahead and just marched past all the warning signs, all the Holy Ghost talking to me, telling me not to do it, and feel bad about it later.
Yeah.
And I know when I see God, I'm going to have to answer for that, because that's what the Bible tells us. So just know God loves us, right? And if we love him, then we'll keep his commandments. We won't abuse his love and his grace. And sometimes we do, and that's what it's there for. That's why he forgives us. That's why he's long-suffering, because sometimes we do mess up. But let's not set in our heart to do evil,
yes,
right? It's the difference between doing evil and setting your heart pre-meditating to do evil because of God's goodness. And so let's not do that. And by the grace of God, help us to refrain from that and to tell others not to do it also. And so we'll pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your grace, your forgiveness, your mercy, your love. You love us so much. Man, you just awesome, and you just do so much for us. But sometimes it comes at a price. Sometimes we neglect to do what we should, and we abuse the goodness of your nature and of your character. And I just pray that you would help us to love you enough to follow your commandments, to love you enough to not abuse the things that you've given us. And I pray that you'll help us to be to raise our standard of living, to live more holy lives, and be more used of you because of your goodness. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.